This episode is brought to you by Thinking in English Classes. Since January, Thinking in English Classes have been running courses for English learners. Their courses have had incredible feedback, and we have noticed the developments and progression in so many of the students. Things like building confidence, increasing knowledge of vocabulary, and ability at speaking. In May, the next six-week level English Boost courses will be launched by Thinking in English. This is a course you're going to want to take. Their structured program is not just the quickest way to learn English, but it also helps you remember everything you've learned. The lessons take place on Zoom, there are language preparation worksheets and weekly writing tasks. There is also a Discord server and a community for you guys to meet other learners. Each course is led by an expert teacher who provides you with personalized feedback as you practice your skills. The courses currently run at B1 to B2 level and B2 to C1 level. In other words, they are designed to take you from intermediate to advanced level English speakers. And this time, they are offering intensive courses. In fact, if you go over to the website, thinkinginenglish.link, you will see there are so many different options of courses you can take right now. I think there are 16 different time slots and 8 different courses. Choose the one that suits you and practice English. Thinkinginenglish.link or click the link in the description of this episode and use the code THINK, T-H-I-N-K, for 10% off your course. Book a course, you won't regret it. Hello, I'm Tom Wilkinson, and welcome to the Thinking in English podcast, a podcast for intermediate to advanced level learners of English. What is an English proficiency test? What is the difference between IELTS and TOEFL? What English proficiency test should you take if you want to study abroad? Do you really need to take a test? Today, let's answer these questions as I give you an in-depth guide to English proficiency tests. You can find the full transcript for today's episode over on the Thinking in English blog. Here is today's episode. In July this year, I will be taking a Japanese language proficiency test. This is not the first time I'm taking this Japanese test. I've actually taken it 3 times before. I passed the N4 and N3 tests many years ago, and I failed the N2 test 2 years ago. The Japanese proficiency test is split into different levels of difficulty, from N5 as the easiest to N1 for the most proficient test takers. And this year, I will be attempting to pass the N2 test. If you'd like to hear more about my study plan and routines and goals, I've recorded an entire bonus episode about the topic. It is available for all my Patreon supporters, so go over and subscribe. I know that many of you out there are also planning to take a proficiency test at some point, maybe in the next few months or years. There are various reasons to take a proficiency test. You might want to test your English level and see how you perform. You might be tracking your study progress or looking for something to give you motivation. You might need a proficiency test to get into university or a study program. You might need to take a test for a new job you are applying for or a promotion in your company. Or maybe you are trying to move to a new country or apply for a visa. I know some UK visas, including spousal visas, make you prove your English ability in the application process. I also get questions all the time about different types of proficiency tests. People ask me for tips, advice, or to make episodes on these tests. Importantly, I'm not an expert. I don't teach English anymore. I haven't really taught English for the past 2 years, and I have never tutored specifically for proficiency tests. But I know thousands of my listeners use Thinking in English episodes, transcripts, articles, and our Patreon events as practice for proficiency tests. This makes me incredibly happy. I'm so proud to be able to help you all achieve your goals. One of the most common questions I receive from listeners is, which English tests should I take? This is not an easy question to answer. There are many tests out there, with different characteristics, different testing formats, difficulties, and purposes. It really depends on why you are taking a test, your English ability, and your goals. So today, I'd like to give you all an introduction to English proficiency tests. I'll start by introducing a few of the most popular proficiency tests and talking about what they test and where they are accepted. And then I'll use example situations to talk about which tests may be most suited for you. IELTS. Let's start with the most popular test when it comes to global university admissions and moving to other countries. IELTS. IELTS stands for the International English Language Testing System. It is an international standardized English test, meaning it is the same across the world, was established in 1989, and is managed by organizations including the British Council and Cambridge English. IELTS is primarily designed to test the English ability of people who want to study or work in English environments. It is a test to accurately check your English ability at the moment you take the test, and therefore the results are only valid for 2 years. For example, if you took IELTS back in 2018, and now you want to study abroad this year, you will probably need to take the IELTS test again. IELTS tests your ability in speaking, writing, reading, and listening. Your performance in each of these skills is scored, and then these scores are combined to give you an overall score of your English ability. IELTS refers to their scores as bands on a scale. IELTS band 1 is the lowest, and 9 is the highest. It is quite common for universities in places like the UK to ask for certain overall scores and specific skill scores. For example, a university course may ask you for at least an IELTS score of 6, with a 6.5 score in the writing section. Actually, I should probably mention there is more than one IELTS test. There are two main versions. First, there is IELTS Academic Test. The Academic Test is specifically designed for people who wish to pursue higher education, so study at university, or professional opportunities, work, in an English-speaking environment. The test is widely accepted by universities, colleges, and professional organizations in English-speaking countries, such as the UK, Australia, Canada, New Zealand, and the United States. You may want to take the IELTS Academic Test if you are applying for an undergraduate or postgraduate degree, looking for a job in an English-speaking country, or applying for scholarships or research opportunities. The second version of IELTS is the IELTS General Training Test. Unlike the Academic Test, which is mainly for people seeking higher education or professional opportunities, the General Training Test is designed for people planning to migrate to an English-speaking country for secondary education, work experience, or training programs. It is also popular with people immigrating to English-speaking countries for purposes other than academic study or work. For example, secondary education would be equivalent to high school, or a person getting married and needing an English test for a visa might choose the General Training Test. The purpose of this version of IELTS is to assess English proficiency in everyday contexts and situations, typically encountered in work, social, and daily life settings. It focuses on general language skills rather than academic-specific language. To give you a better picture, IELTS academic test may ask you to listen to discussions on topics like science, history, or social studies, and then answer questions. IELTS general training might use audio about making travel arrangements, participating in workplace conversations, or asking for information over the phone. TOEFL. The next English proficiency test, and the most popular American English proficiency test, is TOEFL. TOEFL stands for the Test of English as a Foreign Language. It was created by the Center for Applied Linguistics in the United States, and it is a purely academic proficiency test. All of the content and questions are designed to test your ability in academic situations, as if you were at university in the United States. Like IELTS, it tests you in four different English skills: speaking, reading, listening, and writing. You are scored between 0 and 30 in each skill, and these are combined for a total score out of 120. TOEFL can be taken in different ways. You can do it at a test center and complete the full test. You can complete it at home on a computer, or you can do part of it at home, usually the speaking, and the rest at a test center. The results are only valid for 2 years, just like IELTS. One of the big differences between IELTS and TOEFL is that IELTS speaking tests are always, I think always anyway, face-to-face with an examiner, while TOEFL is often done through a computer screen. Unlike IELTS, there is no general version of the TOEFL test. It is completely academic. The TOEFL listening test, for example, involves listening to recordings of academic lectures, while IELTS can be more varied. And while most universities accept both IELTS and TOEFL, TOEFL tends to have a stronger reputation in North America, and education systems that use North American curriculums. TOEIC. Another popular test is TOEIC. TOEIC stands for the Test of English for International Communication. TOEIC is designed to measure the proficiency of non-native English speakers in international business contexts. Unlike TOEFL and IELTS, which are more commonly used for academic purposes, the TOEIC test focuses specifically on English language skills relevant to the workplace and professional settings. It assesses people's abilities to understand and use English in real-life business situations, including meetings, presentations, telephone conversations, and written correspondence like emails. TOEIC is scored out of 990, the listening and reading tests are at least, and it is valid for 2 years. TOEIC is quite respected in certain countries and industries. It is one of the most popular tests, for example, in Japan, where I think it was founded, South Korea, and Taiwan. And it is also available to take in many other countries as well. Cambridge English Tests. Next among the most respected English proficiency tests are those offered by Cambridge English from the University of Cambridge in the UK. These tests are a series of exams designed to assess ability in English skills at different levels of proficiency, and are recognised and accepted by thousands of employers, universities, and governments worldwide. Unlike IELTS, TOEFL, and TOEIC, Cambridge qualifications do not expire after 2 years. And actually, the Cambridge exams have recently, in the past few years, rebranded and changed their names. The A2 Key exam, which used to be called the Key English Test, assesses basic language skills and is often taken by students at the beginning of their English language journey. The B1 preliminary test is an intermediate language exam and is a benchmark for demonstrating competency in everyday written and spoken English. The B2 first exam, which used to be called the First Certificate of English, is an upper intermediate exam that assesses language skills needed for academic and professional success in English-speaking environments. It is often used for admission to universities and colleges or for employment purposes. The C1 Advanced, or formerly Certificate in Advanced English exam, is an advanced level exam that high-level English language skills are tested in. These are skills needed for academic and professional success, particularly in demanding contexts. And the C2 Proficiency Test, or Certificate of Proficiency in English, assesses near-native English language skills needed for academic and professional success at the highest levels. It demonstrates you are a highly fluent and sophisticated user of English. In addition to the well-known English proficiency tests like IELTS, TOEFL, Cambridge English Tests and TOEIC, there are several other popular English language exams used for assessing language proficiency. The Pearson Test of English is a computer-based English proficiency test that assesses reading, writing, listening and speaking. Language Cert International ESOL offers a range of English language exams, including general English proficiency tests as well as business English exams. The Occupational English Test is an English language test specifically designed for healthcare professionals, like nurses and doctors. It assesses language proficiency in a healthcare context. The Duolingo English Test is an online English proficiency test that is accepted by various universities and colleges as an alternative to traditional language exams. And the TOEIC Bridge is a simplified version of TOEIC exam designed for beginner and intermediate English learners. Now, I'm sure there are many other exams out there for specific countries and industries that I have never even heard of before. But now we've looked at these different proficiency tests, which one should you take? Well, this depends completely on your goals and aims. So I thought I would take 4 different scenarios and recommend what tests I would take in this situation. Scenario 1. A person applying for a master's degree in the USA. For a person applying for a master's degree in the USA, the most suitable English tests would be those widely accepted by American universities. TOEFL is widely accepted by universities and colleges in the US. This is actually why the exam was created, and it is specific to academic contexts. IELTS academic test is also widely accepted. Some universities may also accept other exams, like the Cambridge English Advanced tests, but TOEFL and IELTS are usually the best choices. In any case, you should check the specific requirements of the universities and programs to determine which tests they accept. Scenario 2. A person wanting to migrate to the UK on a marriage visa. For a person wanting to move to the UK on a marriage visa, demonstrating English language proficiency may be a requirement, and the most suitable English proficiency test would be one that meets the visa requirements set by the UK government. IELTS general training is, of course, a great option, but there is actually a third version of the IELTS test that I didn't mention earlier, called the IELTS Life Skills Test, which is designed for visa and immigration purposes. Other choices include the Pearson Test of English Academic Version or the Language Cert SELT exams designed for UK visa and immigration purposes. In this scenario, you should always check the specific English language proficiency requirements set by the UK government and choose a test that meets those requirements and that you can actually take in your home country. Scenario 3, a nurse applying for a position in an Australian company. For a nurse applying for a position in Australia, the best choices would be the IELTS academic test or the Occupational English Test, the OET. IELTS academic tends to be accepted all the time by Australian health practitioner regulation agencies, and the OET, the Occupational English Test, is specifically designed for healthcare professionals like nurses and doctors. Scenario 4. A fan of the Thinking in English podcast who just wants to test their English. For a fan of Thinking in English who simply wants to test their English proficiency in an affordable manner, there are several options available that are budget-friendly and still provide a good measure of language skills. There are some free tests out there, including a very simple one made by the Thinking in English classes team. I'll put a link to that simple test, it's free, and it will be in the description of this podcast. If you want a more thorough and in-depth test that is still relatively affordable, two good options are the Duolingo English test and the Language Cert International ESOL. The Duolingo English test is an English proficiency test that's online and is both affordable and convenient. It assesses reading, writing, listening, and speaking skills. It can be taken anywhere, and it provides results quickly. Plus, the cost of the Duolingo English test is relatively low compared to other standardized tests. And Language Cert also has a few affordable options as well. So finally, do you really need to take an English proficiency test? In some situations, people may not actually need to take an English proficiency test to achieve their goal of studying, working, or moving overseas. If you have evidence of your English language proficiency through other means, such as holding a degree from an English-speaking institution or having extensive professional experience in an English-speaking environment, you may not need to pass another test. More generally, if you are learning English for personal interest or personal development purposes with no clear goal in mind, you probably don't need to waste money on formal English tests. Instead, you could focus on improving your language skills through self-study, language courses, or informal language exchanges without the need for an expensive test. Overall, you should consider your specific circumstances, objectives, and goals when deciding on whether to take an English proficiency test or which test to take. So here is today's final thought. This episode of Thinking in English has aimed to be a guide or introduction to the world of English language proficiency tests. There are so many tests out there with different purposes or uses, and it can be really confusing to decide or choose a test to take. And not everyone needs to take a test. Today I looked in depth at IELTS, TOEFL, TOEIC, and the Cambridge exams, as well as mentioning a few other tests. And then I gave you a few different scenarios and suggested which tests would be suitable in those situations. Hopefully, this episode has been useful. But what do you think? Have you ever taken an English language proficiency test? Which test did you take? Are you planning on taking an English proficiency test in the future? In which situation would you take a test? Let me know by leaving a comment. You can comment on Spotify. You can comment over on the Thinking in English website on the transcript. The link is in the description. Or you can reach out to me on Patreon or on Discord. Patreon and Discord are probably the best places to contact me. And we have lots of English tutors working over on my Discord and Patreon platforms so that you can ask questions and maybe even have some lessons with some of our tutors. Thank you all so much for listening today, and I'll see you next time. Goodbye.